What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org. WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
Hello. Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show. There's a creature I know, probably means well, but ignores or even embraces the damage it does to its environment. It consumes all available resources, digs deep to locate and destroy some more. It eats, shits, and has sex, all to whatever excess it can. Multiplies unchecked, this environment is devastated as a result. Am I referring to my babies, the wonderful white rats whose population we couldn't control, who got to the point where we had to leave? Well, perhaps. This will be the last show while they're alive. It was to have been the last show from our old apartment, but things got mixed up. Right now I have no internet at all, and I'm broadcasting from the Dunkin' Donuts parking lot. But if it weren't taking so long to get the internet set up in a new place, I'd be over there. Quiet, clean home. Someplace I can happily invite friends to visit. Not like the old apartment that made me an outsider wherever I went. A place that I hid from the world and where I hid from the world. this would have been the final show from there. Tomorrow someone will go into 1204 to clean up the rats. Put them to sleep. That's what my wife calls it. To me, call it what it is. You're coming in to kill them. Pure and simple. No need to call it something else. The naming of something doesn't change what it is. Sky will exterminate them right after helping us get the last of our stuff out of there. And we're going to pay him for it. Can this be what we're supposed to do? Oh, don't get me wrong. We love our new rat-free apartment. And we absolutely had to get out from under the burden. Couldn't live there like that anymore. And we've even come to realize we don't want to live like that anymore. But I feel rather as though this new life of ours, new beginning, is analogous to those 30 pieces of silver that Judas took for his betrayal. I hope we don't end up hanging from a tree forever banned from heaven. Now, actually, I wonder if Jesus' forgiveness might even have extended to Judas and Pontius Pilate, actually, but doesn't seem to me there should be any exceptions if he was going to save everybody, but I digress. I've prayed for wisdom to see an alternative to this killing. I haven't been able to hear an answer. I asked at the beginning if my description of the destruction referred to what my rats have done to my apartment, and clearly that's what started out to be. But as I read what I was writing, I realized there's another animal that does just the same thing. Perhaps has no more justification for existence than they do. This time I'm sure you realize I refer to man. Homo sapiens in all his glory is wreaking destruction on this planet. If someday our protector species gives up on us and decides that the most merciful thing is to kill us off, can I really blame him for it? I know most of you cannot relate to my pain tonight, cannot fathom how any sane person could care so much for rodents that are considered by most to be vermin, suitable only for killing. Yet consider this. More than once in history, whole races of people have been considered vermin, too. Whole races have been attacked, collected, and tortured, and killed simply for being who they were and doing what they did. Not that I mean to compare any race to the rat. Please, don't anybody take it as an insult. I'd be proud to have my race compared to the rat. Actually, I've found them to be quite a noble species, even despite their destruction of their and my environment. Now, I'm not talking about the race, but the extermination. If I can justify the killing of my babies, how can I then condemn anyone who sees no other alternative than to kill? How can I continue to rail against those who murder in the name of freedom? But the path is inexorable. I must follow it. At each step, I rant against injustice and moral turpitude. You're like the flawed hero of some novel I sin in just the same way. Is hypocrisy part of the human condition? Perhaps it is. Certainly, in this nightmare decision, I feel not just a failure, but a villain. I apologize for devoting still another set of opening remarks to this subject, but I thank you all for listening. And now I hope my friend and co-host Mike Palachek will have something a bit more positive to say.
Chuck, tonight we welcome Lee Herrick. She's a poet from Minneapolis. She's been on the show a few times. And Elaine Brower. Elaine is a peace activist from New York City. It's again time for the New American Dream Radio Show, the American-Russian novel All We Need Is More Vodka Radio Hour. We have the winds of our own totalitarian society freezing the land solid, the tortured tundra. Some of those who have spoken the truth are no longer here. Their chairs at the Thanksgiving adult big table are empty. Their relatives have sent them to Siberia with a roll of their eyes. So let us begin. Here we go. Scooch up to the samovar. Maybe leave your hat and boots on. Fill your peasant hands with a warm drink and listen for the sound of hoofbeats on the ice. The new American dream, what do we want? This following will be a list of things that we think the new American dream would and should include. You may see these as exotic pie in the sky, but it shouldn't be that way, not in a real America. All we have to do to become the Americans we always thought we were. All you have to do is be all you can be. Number one, cut military spending, of course. Get ROTC out of the high schools and colleges. Killing should not be a subject of study. Close the School of the Americas. Close the U.S. military bases in all other countries. Spend massive tax dollars on schools, housing, employment in the poor areas of the United States, cities, rural. Knowing that any people that claims to be Christian or religious or even human must reverse spending on killing and put it into good things for people. Abolish the CIA. Investigate the CIA, FBI fully. Find out what they have been up to over the years and reevaluate any further activity. Release nonviolent drug offender prisoners. Demolish a couple of prisons. It's the right thing to do. Open the borders, north, south, east, west. Raise the minimum wage. Stop logging on public lands. Allow citizens some way to opt out of paying taxes for any military activity. Outlaw assault weapons. Stop factory farming. Provide universal health care. Number 14, something to break up the political monopoly held by Democratic and Republican parties. Also something to encourage real media diversity. 16, let the public know what the government knows or does not know about UFOs. Proceed confidently into this century, not as a bandit, criminal nation, but as a nation determined to carry out the real American dream. If there were a real Democratic Party in the U.S. with real people and real courage, guts, honor, this would not seem like such a far-out agenda at this point in time. They would also want to repeal and repent the so-called drug war, and they would want to investigate the many things that Americans doubt about their countries, their conspiracies, that is, and they would care, really care about the poor. And that example would spread through the country, and we would not be stupid idiots anymore. This is our dream. We are Americans. It's an amazing time to be alive. We survived Kate Smith on the radio. We survived Bush, though not all of us. It's time to wake up. There are no longer any questions we cannot ask. Nothing about our country we are not allowed to know. We are Americans. This is our country. We take it back now from the CIA, the military, the bosses, the Warren Commission, Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, Barack Obama, the 9/11 Commission. Our children will study lies no more. Did George W. Bush, his father, his father's friends, actually steal the elections of 2000 and 2004? And if they did that, would they ever stop at anything? Just asking. Did George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, Rove, Rice, Ashcroft, Wolfowitz, Colin Powell conspire to commit murder and treason in the 9/11 attacks? In order to, again, be able to lie about anthrax and WMD and torture, in order to attack Iraq and make billions. We want to know. We need to know. We deserve to know. We want to know who killed Bobby, Martin, JFK, Paul Wellstone. Did we land on the moon? Is Bigfoot real? How about UFOs? Come on. There are no wrong questions, remember? No secrets in anyone's land of the free. How do we explain to our children how the war on drugs goes with this buzz for you? Prisons, poverty, trees, wind power. We can talk about all of it because we are Americans again. We are not the subjects of the FBI or CIA or the U.S. Army or Wall Street. We do not torture, kill children, bomb, rape, mutilate. We are Americans. We are Americans. Why is Leonard Peltier in prison? Why did we fund death squads in El Salvador? We overthrew elected governments in Chile, Iran, Guatemala. Really? Why? We deserve to know. We need to know. We have to know. So that we may tell the world we are Americans. Don't be afraid to be a real American. Remember, they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid.
What if we choose a world and future that had no war? What if we had a world where progress meant the fulfillment of our human needs for everyone, everywhere? What if we had a world where we find the teachings and great prophets of all religions have been our friend and mentor all along and not our foe? What if we had a world where the air is fresh and invigorating, the water pure and sparkling, and the skies clean and blue? What if the earth is untainted, clean and toxic-free from sea to shining sea? What if the food we eat nourishes, cleanses, and heals us from all ailments and there is no sickness and disease anymore? What if we enlightened ourselves about God as the greatest enlightenment of all? What if we make money and prosperity the way of life for every human being on the planet to unfold and evolve our highest and greatest potential together? What if we had a world where our compassion and humanity to all life on Earth is the key to opening the door to heaven and Earth? What if we find that our openness and unity with all life and each other is our natural high? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
Good morning, boys and girls. Welcome to public school, to America, to your life. We might as well get started. We may as well begin at the beginning. The moon landings are fake. Also, morning recess is at 10:15 sharp. You'll wear a coat. You'll line up quietly along the chalkboard when I snap my fingers like this. The FBI and CIA killed John F. Kennedy and his brother Robert. No peeing in the sandbox. Anyone who does so will live to regret it. Please write the Gulf of Tonkin in black pen only across the top of your hand. We'll get to that later. Lunch begins promptly at 11:45. What you do not finish by 12 noon will be packed neatly back into your sack or lunchbox and taken home. Nothing stays in the cloakroom overnight. Nothing. Pearl Harbor's not what your parents think it was. We'll be having Parents' Pearl Harbor Day in December, encouraging them to get over themselves. No talking. That goes without saying. Correct. Good. The FBI and ATF burned children your age alive at a place called Waco. They blew children your age to bits at a place called Oklahoma City. If you brought your rugs if you were instructed, you'll have nap time at 9:30 this morning. September 11th, 2001, which you may or may not have heard of, was done by your own government to start wars to make money for the wealthy men and women who actually run this country and the world. The word democracy is propaganda itself. Voting and marching and parades down the middle of the street are, well, virtually useless. If you had any sense at all, you would not come back tomorrow. But if you do, we'll learn and we'll understand and we'll grow. In due time, we'll blow the lid off this pop stand. Now, please rise, and as we begin our day, join me in singing Steve Earle's song, F the FBI.
This message brought to you by the Boogeyman. The United States of America has a huge military and hundreds of bases around the world that the people were told for 50 years were needed exclusively to counter one enemy, communism. And now there aren't any communists anymore. The CIA needed to be so huge to counter the KGB, but there isn't any KGB anymore. The FBI needed to be so huge because the Reds were everywhere, even under our beds, but there aren't any Reds anymore. So we don't need the military and bases and CIA and FBI, right? No. There are terrorists everywhere. They attacked us on 9/11, and there are big bees from Mexico. And so there you go. We still need almost all of your money. Have a nice day. Stay on the same page. Take it to the next level and believe what we tell you. Just in, this late-breaking news brief. The House Un-American Activities Committee will be reconvening this week. The committee will be investigating un-American activities such as the murder of children in Iraq and Afghanistan and the restricting of personal freedoms through the so-called Patriot Act, as well as the infiltration of American organizations by members of clandestine terror groups. Are you now or have you ever been a member of the Central Intelligence Agency? Appearing next week before the committee will be Dan Rather, Tom Brokaw, Matt Lauer, Katie Couric, Diane Sawyer, Brian Williams, and in absentia, Peter Jennings. Now I would like to welcome our first special guest, Lee Herrick. Lee Herrick is a poet in Minneapolis. She has been on the show at least two or three times. We take great pride in welcoming Lee Herrick back to the show. Lee, are you there?
Yeah, here I am. Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. What's happening in Minneapolis these days?
Oh, it's pretty quiet. I haven't been down to the mall lately, so I'm a little bit out of touch with that. But I would say, you know, nothing's happening, kind of like the rest of the United States. Nothing's happening. Little drops here and there, but I'd like to see more.
Do you have some poems you could read for us tonight?
Yeah, I actually chose a little thing that I put up. I did a little blog the other day, and I actually decided to read that, and I'm going to. So I'll read that, and then I have a couple poems afterward. So this I call A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Bathroom. Well, not really, but I thought I'd give you a little chuckle to start with, since what I have to say is nothing to chuckle about. I've been thinking lately about the word epistemology a lot, but not just that, not just how one acquires knowledge, but also what passes as knowledge, the difference between the common as acquired and the taught as acquired, and how these are valued necessarily in a market economy, often pitting systems of belief against those of wisdom. But here's the skinny, the way I see it. Common knowledge allowed Homo sapiens to survive as a species. Book knowledge, taught knowledge, allows us to consider our purpose in that survival. That's the raw of it, I'd say, very simply put. I've seen a couple poets representing on PBS recently, and in both instances I wondered at their tameness. American poets, yes, big-time TV draw, okay, okay. PBS, yes, not N or ABC, not CBS, and certainly not cable, or do they? I don't have cable. Do they do poets on cable? So I know before you think I'm totally wonky, I know it's good at least to have some poetic representation occurring over American airwaves. Better than nothing, right? Yes. Oh, but then, why was I compelled to walk away from the telly in utter frustration? Why did I leave the room sputtering lines from Salvadoran revolutionary poet Roque Dalton? Don't ever forget that the least fascist among fascists are also fascist. Why did I think of Goldie Hawn in that movie I could never watch? What was it? Oh, yes. Private Benjamin, where she wants the cushy army, not the real one. I think they sent me to the wrong place. I did join the army, but I joined a different army. I joined the one with the condos and the private rooms. Yes, in that army, the poems are not so bad. They are bearable. I walked away because of the lie of it all. Maybe it's not a big lie. Maybe it's a tamed attempt to get at the bigger lie. Well then, is taming the harsh truth a way to lie? I feel that way about poetry sometimes. Ah, bah, maybe I'm just in the wrong genre, or maybe I'm just in the wrong country. But the poems, the reps of American letters, just aren't upsetting enough. They don't leave you the legs of blown-up children bloodying your Persian rug. Guess that wouldn't sit too well, would it? Guess that wouldn't go down with smoothies and iced lattes. Guess that wouldn't serve up well in the ambiance of cafe'd orientation during book perusal, which just begs a little more pondering over these questions. What does it mean culturally when we turn a blind eye to deathmongering? What does it mean to commit to the illusions of us versus them? What does it mean to accept bad food, bad water, bad soil, bad air, and bad government? What does it mean to live indifferent to children, no matter whose they are? What does it mean that Adrienne Rich the American poet Adrienne Rich writes, because in times like these, to have you listen at all, it's necessary to talk about trees. I saw a POV documentary, Afghanistan, excuse me, Afghanistan, year 1380, broadcast on September 9th, 2002, as part of PBS's commemoration of the September 11th attacks. I thought that was gutsy. I'll skip the description of the film. No, I will read it. Filmed with the cinematic power of a Hollywood drama, but shorn of the formulas that make tragedy more bearable. Afghanistan, year 1380, shows close up the human toll among civilians of current and past wars. As always, it is the children who provide the most searing spectacle of wanton destruction in a country where war has been a constant for generations. Excuse me, Mike. Fighting off a little laryngitis here. Still, we are treated to poems on PBS that mildly approach the sufferings of war, the sufferings of injustice offered up again and again in samplings that come off as tamed sound bites, more than the poems of righteous indignation. From usual suspects who are palatable, if not formulaic, in their linguistically designed efforts to make thinking about ethics no part of ethical actioning, to make poetry no part of behavioral change in a weekend art form appearing to make the fact of complicity erased by conscientious objection, employed, it seems, to make this ongoing post-9/11 arena of distant drones and depleted uranium more bearable. And I just don't know why this should be. Why should it be bearable at all when in truth it is not? And why, when it comes to poetry, cannot PBS bring to the foreground those contemporary American poets who are saying it is not? Who would leave all the stretchers full of dead and wounded laid out across our downy comforting beds? Ah, because unmasking requires a comprehension of the conditions in which the masking was necessary and occurred. In that case, to turn Hamlet's point a bit, conscience does indeed make cowards of us all. And now I'll read one of my poems.
Excuse me, Lee. I think we're going to have to stop there. Could you tell us a little bit about your, in closing, about your new book that's going to be coming out?
Sure. It's Etiolating When, and it's forthcoming in a few months by Howling Dog Press. Michael Annis of Howling Dog Press is the publisher.
I bet he'll have a great cover, a great layout. I think it'll be a very good
looking
book.
Yeah, it looks really nice. If people want to see the cover, they can also go to my website and find out a little bit more about it. It's leeherrick.com.
Awesome. Lee, I'm sorry we have to cut you off, but we have to go on and have a good night, and I hope you'll come back again in a couple months.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you very much.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
And now we bring you the new American Dream masterpiece, classic playhouse theater, something, something. Real voices with a message that you will not hear on the CBS Nightly News. Tonight we hear from Philip and Daniel Berrigan, American priests, activists, writers, poets. Philip has passed away. Daniel is still living in New York City. Philip was born in Two Harbors, Minnesota, not too far north of where I'm at right now. And Daniel was born in Virginia, Minnesota, which is also about an hour north of where I am at right now.
Daniel Berrigan, our apologies, good friends, for the fracture of good order, the burning of paper instead of children, the angering of the orderlies in the front parlor of the charnel house. We could not, so help us God, do otherwise. The time is past when good men can remain silent, when obedience can segregate men from public risk, when the poor can die without defense. Daniel Berrigan, again. Because we want the peace with half a heart and half a life and will, the war, of course, continues. Because the waging of war by its nature is total. But the waging of peace by our own cowardice is personal. Certainly the trouble is not that we do not want peace. We've seen enough war. We're sick of it unto death. The wars come home like a stalking corpse, tailing its blood, its tears, its losses, its despairs, seeking like an American ghost the soul of America. We want the peace, but most of us do not want to pay the price of peace. We still dream of a peace that has no cost attached. We want peace, but we live content with poverty and injustice and racism, with the murder of prisoners and students, the despair of the poor to whom justice is endlessly denied. We long for peace. But we wish also to keep undisturbed a social fabric of privilege and power that controls the economic misery of two-thirds of the world's people. Obviously, there will be no genuine peace while such an inherently violent scheme of things continues. America will in time extricate herself from the bloody swamp, the ruined villages, the mutilated dead of Vietnam. But nothing will be settled there, nothing mitigated at home, nothing changed, that is, until a change of heart leads us to a change of social structures in every area of our lives.
And this is Philip Berrigan. Many people say nonviolent civil disobedience is no longer needed. Its use in history is over. Would you agree that part of our nonviolent resistance means we need to continue to risk arrest and opposition to nuclear weapons, he was asked. One way to look at our responsibility is from the angle of law, he responded. We don't know anything about this law that we have. People who purport to be Christians don't know anything about the biblical treatment of law and the fact that human law is always under the judgment of God because it is a sign of rebellion against God. Nuclear weapons are legal right across the board, from making and processing them down to running them through Pantex down in Amarillo, Texas, and deploying them. It's all legal, every step of the way. What does this say about law? What does it say that we legalize every measure that could destroy the world? What does it mean that it is legal to destroy the world through toxic poisoning? It says something about law. It's like the law under which Christ was crucified. The ruler said, "We have a law, and under this law he has to die." He was executed legally. Philip Berrigan was asked this question. You spoke on Good Friday at the prayer service and nonviolent demonstration out at Livermore Labs in California about our call to become like Jesus' outlaws. What did you mean by this? Philip Berrigan's response, I meant that we can't keep the law of God and keep human law as it stands today in the imperial United States. We have to make a choice between the two. Now I'd like to welcome our second guest. Elaine Brower Elaine Browery is the mother of a Marine recently returned from his third deployment, one in Afghanistan, two in Iraq. She's an activist against the war with the National Steering Committee of World Can't Wait and a member of Military Families Speak Out. Elaine's stories and interviews have appeared in the New York Daily News, New York Newsday, New York Times, and she has appeared on Good Morning America, Montel Williams, NBC Nightly News, Nova TV from the Netherlands, TV from Tokyo, and numerous radio programs nationwide. Hello, Elaine, are you there?
No, still getting a ringing signal.
Okay. Well, Elaine is a member of World Can't Wait, and I get a lot of emails from World Can't Wait from Deborah Sweet, and World Can't Wait does a lot of good work. They're usually right on the spot. I know that the last time we talked to Elaine was, I think it must have been just in the last part of September. They were just going, the Occupy movement was just going to start. I think it started actually on October 6th. And she was, no, wait, that's wrong. We had planned to speak to her from the Occupy movement, from the Occupy, the first couple weeks of Occupy, we couldn't make contact with her. I talked to her, I think a day or two later, she said her cell phone had run down. But hopefully this time we'll be able to speak to Elaine. I know that back at that time we were all wondering, you know, the Occupy movement was, I think, the first one
we have Elaine on the line now.
Hello, Elaine. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good, good, good. Last time we talked, I really can't remember, but I think it's been quite a long time. Last time we were going to talk, you were going to speak to us from Occupy in Washington. Can you tell us? We didn't get to talk to you that time. Can you kind of give us an update on how that all went?
Sure. I'm really sorry about that, but it was so hectic there. And I just could not get to my phone, but it was a arduous process to get it all set up, but it was well worth it. The first night, we had a huge concert and about, a couple of thousand people on Freedom Plaza. And then we retained Freedom Plaza, I guess up until they evicted us last month. The numbers dwindled as time went on, but it got to be a real occupation. People just, the whole lateral discussion and working groups and community and family, and we had people there that were homeless that kind of found people that really cared about them. So this whole Occupy movement has really been enlightening.
And are there people still in Freedom Plaza, or they are not now?
Yeah, there actually are a few people in Freedom Plaza, but what we wound up doing was we split up. There are four occupations right now. There's one in McPherson, which is they're really only allowed to be there during the day, and if they're there at night, they are not allowed to sleep, and the same thing for Freedom Plaza. And then some people moved into an abandoned house, which is called the Peace House. And then there's another house that they occupied, which is in Maryland. So during the winter months, everyone sort of took on different positions and different places. But what we're doing right now is we're planning for the spring to reoccupy Washington, D.C., as well as I know other places around the country. Here in New York City, next Tuesday, we're having a huge rally in Union Square Park on February 28th to call people back together again and say, don't suppress OWS because of what's been going on around the country, the horrible suppression we've seen by the growing police state. So we're going to be taking over Union Square, and then hopefully getting into Zuccotti Park again.
In an email, you also mentioned that you'd like to talk about a divide in the anti-war movement regarding the probably coming attack on Iran. Would you like to go into that?
On February 4th, we actually had a huge international day of action against an attack on Iran. But our main purpose was no war, no sanctions, no assassinations, and no intervention. And we had 80 cities around the world, actually. Toronto, Quebec, there were provinces there, in London, Ireland, and we got a lot of media coverage, and the anti-war movement, along with the Occupy movement and Iranian groups, both that are part of the Greens, which is the democracy movement in Iran, and the older group that just doesn't really align themselves with the Greens, but we were able to come together under one banner, which we're going to do again on March 4th. And we're demanding that the sanctions be stopped, first of all, because, sanctions, the way they are right now, are truly an act of war against the people of the country. They're trying to cripple the government, but the people are suffering. And we had a lot of Iranian people speak up about that on February 4th. But what we're seeing is another drumbeat for war through the media, through the government, and especially through Israel. So we have to make sure that we pay attention to that. And although people are sort of saying, well, Obama's, he doesn't really want to go to war with Iran, the sanctions that have been imposed through the NDAA, and then again last week through the European Union, that they're pushing for all these sanctions, it's just, that is an act of war. It's an act of war against the people. And Iran is going to just keep holding on to the oil and blocking the Straits of Hormuz, where we have huge amounts of naval vessels with Marines on board. So we're all set to go to war. And I think we have to pay attention to that, because that could truly be catastrophic.
It's not easy to do this sort of work. I would, day after day after day, in the United States, and I was just wondering, on a personal level, how do you manage to keep going?
Well, it's tough. It's tough for all of us. My son did 3 combat tours as a Marine, and I've been at this for 10 years. I saw what it did to him. I saw what it did to his Marine Corps friends. A lot of them didn't come home. He was lucky enough, I was lucky enough for him to return home, but he's on 100% disability. He has traumatic brain injury. He has 100% post-traumatic stress disorder. And so I just keep that in mind, that not only are we ruining another generation of our young men and women, we're also killing a lot of innocent people. Which we really have to think about humanity. We can't keep going at this pace. The war machine in this country, the way the empire is existing, it just can't keep it up. We're either going to destroy the planet or destroy humanity, or the United States will crumble, which I think the world would applaud if that happens. But it's very hard to do. Today I was working on the rally for next Tuesday, and it's kind of nonstop banging your head against the wall when it comes to trying to work with the police, trying to work with activists, getting the right tone, doing the right thing, and you're really not at this point getting anywhere, because no one's paying attention. We're lucky if we get mainstream media, and then they sort of twist what we say or what we're doing. And forget the electoral process. We have a one-party system at this point that's owned by the corporations. We're never going to get anywhere anywhere that way. So what I'm hoping for is that this Occupy movement kind of morphs into something stronger, and we're able to change our system of government. Not reform it, but make a complete change. And I'll keep working on that until it happens.
Elaine, thank you very much for your time and for your work and everything that you've been doing. Could you do you have a website or something? The world can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Is there some way people can get in touch with you and know what you're up to, what you're doing, and get in touch with about different activities?
Sure. I work with World Can't Wait, and our website is worldcantwait.net. And right now we are working on don'tsuppressows.org, which is turning into a national movement starting next week. So you could reach me through either one of those websites or see what kind of work we're doing.
Well, thank you very much again, Elaine, and I hope you'll have time to come back and talk to us again in a couple of months.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Have a good night.
Bye. You too.
What if we choose a world and future that had no war? What if we had a world where progress meant the fulfillment of our human needs for everyone, everywhere? What if we had a world where we find the teachings and great prophets of all religions have been our friend and mentor all along and not our foe? What if we had a world where the air is fresh and invigorating, the water pure and sparkling, and the skies clean and blue? What if the earth is untainted, clean and toxic-free from sea to shining sea? What if the food we eat nourishes, cleanses, and heals us from all ailments, and there is no sickness and disease anymore? What if we enlightened ourselves about God as the greatest enlightenment of all? What if we make money and prosperity the way of life for every human being on the planet to unfold and evolve our highest and greatest potential together? What if we had a world where our compassion and humanity to all life on Earth is the key to opening the door to heaven and Earth? What if we find that our openness and unity with all life and each other is our natural high? Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
Now, to honor America, please stand. Every one of you out there, washing your car, sitting on the toilet, polishing your coin collection, tugging on the starter cord of your lawnmower, driving in your car, sitting in the confessional, please stand. And to honor the coming war with Iran, please remove your hat. To honor the coming shock and awe, the awesome slaughter of a whole new batch of brownish people with high-tech weapons, paid for by single mothers with 9 jobs dropping off their children at daycare at 5 in the morning, please remove your shoes. To honor those journalists on our televisions, inside our radios, and in our newspapers who work diligently each day to bring us the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, please remove your shirt. And now, ladies and gentlemen, to honor the wise and discerning and courageous leaders of our nation who will lead us in this coming slaughter of babies, infants, toddlers, young adults, mothers, fathers, and old people, please remove your pants, your dresses, your underwear. And now at this time, please turn to the gigantic American flag rippling in the breeze at the north end of the stadium. Turn around and bend over and repeat after me. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above.
Well, it's been a long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. Kate King is the daughter of Jack Robert King and Cherry King, and Johnny King was her brother. A while back, you might recall, you might not, that Jack Robert King took his online podcast radio show on the road. He rode a bus from Nebraska to Oregon. He said he was looking for Bigfoot. But he wasn't just going to Oregon to see if he could have a Bigfoot experience. He also wanted to find out the truth about America. He just felt in his gut that he didn't know the whole story and he had to know. Well, he found out at least something, at least more than he knew before. And what we do know that after he returned, well, a few weeks or months later, he and Cherry and Johnny were dead, and the radio show was no more. Little Kate saw the whole thing. She saw it all, and she ran. She ran into the corn that afternoon, and she lived. And she suffered, and she survived, and she learned. And today she's very, very angry and very, very beautiful and very, very capable and so very alive. Recently we saw how Kate was arrested while drawing on the curb during the presidential motorcade. Well, she wasn't arrested. They attempted to arrest her. She punched the policeman and the policewoman and got away into the crowd, into the night. Well, that same night that she got into the fight with the police after she escaped and then was on the 10 o'clock news, she went to the bookstore to meet her friends who were supposed to have met her at the presidential parade. Then she escaped the bookstore, even with it being surrounded by police. She escaped into the night, into the flashing lights and the bullets and the bombs of America. She slept in an alley that night, and the next morning she boarded a bus, bound for anywhere, just to be going, to again be able to survive and think, just as soon as she could, to mount another attack. On the bus with her, or so she imagined, were other Illuminati, ones who knew the truth about America. She saw one man who might have been a former FBI agent who knew the truth about the Wellstone death, and also an astronaut who knew the truth and had spent the last decades riding buses to escape being murdered like the other astronauts who had found out the truth. And there were others, and they rode the bus just like Kate, moving, always moving, plunging into the darkness of another new night, trying to survive the American nightmare.
She fell asleep with her head bumping down the road on the glass. The sleeping Kate passed Gork and Bork and Tork as well as Nork, towns with windows lit by TV screens, where Torkians and Norksters listened and learned and smiled and chuckled and fell asleep at last with the faint sound of chuckles in the air. She passed prisons and penitentiaries and correctional facilities and jails and detention centers and lockups and holding tanks and barbed wire, razor wire, brick and stone and rock. The bus took a curve too sharply and banged Kate's head against the window. She pulled her legs up, wrapped her arms around herself to dream of cornfields and baseball, a large white front porch swing. Kate and the other dozing Illuminati passed by stone and brick homes with ponies and princess dolls. They passed garbage-strewn streets with weeping naked babies covered with freezing snot. At the county court of Gork, a family of four kicked a young man in shabby clothes up the steps. They took turns kicking him. Across the street on the giant flat-screen TV, the family was cheered on by a newscaster wearing a suit. And then a team of cheerleaders, followed by a family of five, seen their vehicle from the window of the drive-thru at Wendy's. Their mother, father, sister, brother kicked the young man in the stomach, the mouth, and the genitals, mostly. The man rolled under the ancient stone archway where high above, the words of Abby Hoffman were etched in the marble. There's absolutely no greater high than challenging the power structure as a nobody, giving it your all and winning. The man tried to rest, to resist, for a moment there, on his hands and knees, under the pointed shoe pummeling. Blood dripped out of his mouth and nose and ears onto the granite pathway. And on the walk, a woman wearing a mink coat had a minister on a jeweled collar out for his exercise. At the curb, she tugged on the lead, and the minister plopped to his knees to cross the busy street.
In Gork, three TVs droned in each home, and each door was locked and connected to a monitoring station with attendants watching computer screens eating Doritos. Each Gorkian had a likewise secure bank account at the State Bank of Gork, with automatic monthly withdrawals going through the Church of Gork and the Gork Volunteer Fire Department. The locks on the bank and the church were likewise similarly monitored.
each shotgun on each lap of each Gorkha watching each TV aimed at a window through which a deviant with TVs on his mind might one night leap. While underneath the window after dark crept the banker and minister and fire chief. The TVs were adorned on stands with lighted candles arrayed around. One set was tuned to SWAT, another COPS, the third always to America's Most Wanted. On the streets of Gork, police cars plunder, then rape, then pillage, waited on each corner with lights flashing and sirens wailing. The Gork school board divided the classes into penitentiary and preparatory. In the hospital nursery, some newborns wore bracelets of blue and pink beads spelling out their name. The local blacksmith fitted the others with miniature handcuffs and shackles, engraved with their register numbers, which would be replaced by larger accoutrements as they entered elementary and secondary school. To the moon, Alice! Kate leaned into the aisle to visit with the underground astronaut. One of these days, Kate smiled wide. That was Kennedy's proclamation, said the man. And 1 year later, John Glenn circling the globe. It's like a Stalin 5-year plan. You always get big brownie points for getting done early. He munched chips from a bag and brushed thin hair from his brow. You declare it's going to happen, and by God, it happens, right? Kate looked at him. The moon is a giant spaceship, he said. Yeah, really, it is. Alien spies, they can see everything. The astronaut in Earth orbit pulled back into his chair cocoon, closed his eyes, and pulled in his arms and legs as a turtle to its shell for nap time.
Kate turned back to her dark window and looked up at the full moon aglow, afire, eyes wide open, leering, peeking down a rich and poor light. The moon looked down on a bus in the night in thousands of jails and prisons and penitentiaries in every county of every state in the United States of America. The wily spies on alien moon night duty gazed down through powerful scopes at the way the poor kept that way and the way the rich keep themselves so well. They took midnight moon spaceship spy satellite night ship lunch break and then peered down upon Illuminati who knew what is done, riding night buses to safety. And there was always one more bus to board. They saw the tired residents of Gork on volunteer night patrol clubbing the poor and dragging them behind the family SUV battleship destroyer out to the dump. The morning shift saw a young black man standing outside a trailer house with his father, talking about the young man enlisting in the Army to give him the future. The mid-morning alien spy team saw a young couple talking to a banker in a small town, begging for the money to buy their first sad little home and begin their long, desperate lives with one day of full ecstasy. They gazed with wide-eyed wonder down the top of a young woman waitress as she ripped off her apron and fired it to the floor, quitting the best job she ever had to go home to work in the factory with her mother, noting on special spongy writing tablets the anger she displayed and the spittle spewing from her mouth as she stormed away, leaving hot pancakes waiting on the counter.
Kate dreamed, thought, mooned over her family, her father, mother, brother, all dead. The little kitten Biggie with the oversized paws, the pitch black fur, the wet nose, snuggling her brother as they all sat on the porch, watching the corn and the stars and the moon. She turned her face against the window and washed it with her tears, remembering the day they were all killed, murdered by the man and woman in the black SUV, how the helicopter rained bullets down upon her as she ran into the corn and slid under the old stalks to hide. She ran, she hid, They died, she lived. They bled and gasped for breath and drowned in their own blood as she crept away on her hands and knees. But she was only a child, not yet 9. But she ran away. She left them. The ones who'd fed her, dressed her, held her, ate ice cream with her on the sofa, watching Tom Hanks movies. She let them die, and she lived. Her dad had told her to run, to go find Bigfoot, find the truth. But she didn't run to find Bigfoot. She ran because she was scared out of her mind. She screamed, ran into the ditch, fell on her face, scrambled under the barbed fence wire. She wet herself, defecated in the new jeans her mother had bought for her in Sioux City. She was covered in dirt, had niblets of corn and corn stalks in her hair. And even though the man and woman in the SUV and the helicopter ran away too, and the state patrolmen in their flying saucer hats looked for her in the corn, they didn't find her. Because the crows that always hung out in the lane and in the shelter belt dived at their heads, and they got tired of swatting at the birds while searching for this little scared girl with dirty clothes and hair, heart racing and tears streaming down her face, but who kept it all in while she heard their boots stomping in the corn. She swallowed her sobs and licked at her tears and burrowed like a wounded pheasant escaping the hunter. She did not let them find her. Even though they called out, Katie King, where are you? Because she had heard her father tell her many times on the porch that these were not the men you ran to for help. Run away.
And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security, COINTELPRO, Spring Break travel agents are about average.
We'd like to thank WorldNewsTrust.com, SpiritualUN.org, and June2508.com for bringing our show to you this night. We'd like to thank you for listening, and we hope you'll come back again next week, same time, same place. And now stay tuned for Black Op Radio with our producer, Len Osanek. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm, and good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer, and good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being if it's just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through all American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that is all energy free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founders' version? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.
Radio presents Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty, the DVD Complete Collection. Finally, the DVD set you've been waiting for is available. Over 15 hours with Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty. Over 15 hours. Over 15 hours. Interviews with Leno Sanek, John Judge, David Ratcliffe, and more. This is a one-of-a-kind set. These interviews feature Fletcher Prouty having candid conversations regarding his 23 years in the military, but specifically 9 years in the Pentagon from 1955 to 1964. His inside knowledge is invaluable to researchers of this era of American and world history. These are the revelations you've been waiting for.
Over 15 hours with Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty, the complete DVD collection. Available at the Colonel Prouty reference site, www.prouty.org, and blackopradio.com.
New from U.S. author Mike Palachuk, Camp America. Here's what American poet David Ray has to say. Mike Palachuk reminds me of Socrates, the gadfly who asked unwelcome questions, Diogenes with his lantern looking in vain for an honest man, Chekhov, the man with the hammer challenging the complacent family to share their meal, Kerouac, the ever-on-the-move, somewhat hysterical searcher, and he also reminds me of many Americans who as children were so blasted with propaganda that they're devoting the rest of their lives to challenging the lies and all who tell them. In this land where babies are brought by storks and buildings collapse due to unpatriotic bricks, we need the gadfly, because no